So open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 as we continue to systematically go through the Word of God. And we're again resting on the birth of Christ here and all those who participated within the birth of Christ. And last week we were talking about the ceremonies and the law concerning that was associated with Christ's birth. There was a ceremony of circumcision. Even as a baby, he was fulfilling all righteousness. He was fulfilling the law as a baby. Being born, he was identifying with sinners. And he came, and he, as we're going to see, took on everything that we have taken on, but yet he did not sin. And thank the Lord that Joseph wasn't his father. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And because of that, he's able to say, hey, your sins are forgiven. I mean, when somebody who does not sin, who could not sin and is perfect, can say to you, your sins are forgiven, you can really trust in those words, and you can really believe in those words. But someone who says, hey, you know what, your sins are forgiven, do what I say, but don't do what I do, you know, there's not much hope in that, right? But the ceremony of circumcision, there was a ceremony of purification that Mary had to go through, and she had to participate in that, in cleansing, and I think it was 40 days. And then the ceremony of dedication, being dedicated. And I love the fact that Jesus was dedicating, they were dedicating Jesus to himself, you know, because he was God. He wasn't blind to the ceremony. He was there from the very beginning. I love that. And he was showing us an example, just like baptism. He's showing us at the baptism. He did not need to be baptized, but he was identifying with sinners. He wanted to give us an example and showing us that you can be a new creation. The old person can die when you go underwater. You know, it's symbolic of you dying to yourself. And when you're coming out of the water like Christ, he rose on the third day, and us becoming a new creation in Christ. And the old man's passed away. Behold, the new man becomes new. And it's a inward inward, how's it go? Outward sign of an inward act, okay? Inwardly, we're being, actually, not the baptism. Baptism's the other way, because it's an outward act of an inward change. That's what that is. You know, you're showing people that you want to change inside. Luke chapter 2, we left off in verse 23. So look at verse 23. Again, we're talking about those three ceremonies that were written in the book of Leviticus that Mary had to go through, Jesus had to go through. And then after the dedication, we're getting to the dedication part. It says in verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now again, this is a ceremony that Mary had to go through. After giving birth, she was considered unclean, and so she had to go through that ceremony of purification. Here in verse, 24 here, it talks about, it confirms that, you know, Jesus was born into a poor family, guys. He wasn't wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born in an upper class community. He was born to a poor family. God chose a poor family to bear his son. Now I want you to notice here in 24 that Mary offered two pigeons or a pair of turtle doves. I love doves. You love doves? You love the noise they make? It just seemed like when they make that, it's like, when they do that, they're at peace with one another. It's like there's they don't have to worry about predators or nothing. They're sitting there, and there's always two of them. I think doves and they say wolves are the animals that will have a mate for life. Wouldn't that be awesome if we can learn from that? You know, I can. You know, obviously my wife. You know, I met her in the third grade. You know the story. She danced for me in the third grade, and we've been together ever since. You know, and actually met her in the sixth grade. We've been together ever since, you know. So I guess that makes us, I don't want to be doves, but I'd rather be wolves, you know. But again, God chose a poor family to bear his son. I mean, to offer up two pigeons and two turtle doves, that was acceptable by God. It was written in the law in Leviticus chapter 12, which tells us that they are considered as the offering of the poor. Now, rich people, they were required to offer up a lamb. That costs money. But God chose a poor family to bring up his only son. We're talking about a ordinary home without luxuries. So don't feel bad. You know, I used to think, man, I want this, I want that. But you know what? When I accepted the Lord, I found out that I am not tied down to those things. There's nothing that the world has to offer that ties me down to my life in Christ. I can give it all up. No problem. I was willing to give up my house. When I almost lost my house, I was actually excited because I thought, all right, I'm going to live with my oldest son. I get to have devotions with my grandsons. I was so looking forward to that. I was actually excited. And then when I found out God didn't allow me to lose my home, I was kind of bummed out. You know, I was like, man, Lord, oh, man, now there goes what I wanted. But God had a different plan. Now, Peter mentions in Acts chapter 10, and I love this because being born of Mary, seeing Mary offer up a pair of doves two young pigeons, you know, pigeons. You don't like pigeons. I mean, who likes pigeons? Did you guys know that actually pigeons are a pest and you're allowed to kill them? Yeah, because they're a pest. In fact, pest control's in the buildings downtown. They land on the buildings there. They set up traps to get rid of the pigeons. And so I never thought that, but, you know, of course you don't want to do that. And I don't want to do that, you know, because, you know, they're God's creation. But if they don't get out of my way when I'm in the car, sorry, you know. Again, you see God coming to his life in Christ. It comes to us, normal people. He didn't come to the rich. He didn't come to the religious. He came to people like us, to normal people, and those who love God and his disciples. You know what? His disciples were, if you were living back then, it probably would have been your neighbor. Paul, hey, my neighbor next door, I know him, he lived next to me, you know, Paul or Peter or these guys. But Peter, he tells us in Acts chapter 10, and he said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. And so we have to take on that same attitude to show no partiality. This is why the reason why Jesus came and was born of Mary is, see, God doesn't show partiality. He takes on whoever fears him. The word fear means reverence. Whoever's going to worship him, whoever's going to serve him, and those who are going to work righteousness is accepted by God. And what is righteousness? It's just right living, doing what's right. And then Paul confirms that in Romans chapter 2, verse 11. He says, there is no partiality with God. God does not have partiality. He accepts everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. And if you look up that word world, it means cosmos. He died for the whole world. He just didn't die for the elect, like some people believe. God only died for the elect. Therefore, we don't have to witness. People believe that. We don't have to witness. We don't have to go out and share the gospel because God already knows who's saved. And I agree, he does know. He knows who is saved and who's going to be saved. But we don't. You don't. I don't. If I knew who was going to be saved, then I wouldn't talk to that person. I would talk to somebody else. We don't. So that's why we got to get out there and we got to share the word of God. There is no partiality with God. Now, I want you to think about who were involved in the coming of the Messiah, who was involved in the coming of Jesus, coming of his birth. First, there is Zacharias, right? We got the high priest, the man of religion, a man of who knew the word of God, very respected and very godly. He was the high priest. And then we got Mary, this young teenage girl, pretty much a nobody, just a teenager who loved God. She studied the scriptures, you know, from a high priest to a teenage girl. And then we got the wise guys. Remember the wise guys, the wise men? Now, it wasn't three wise men. We don't really know. The scripture doesn't say. It could be more. But these wise guys, you know, they didn't even visit Jesus in the day when he was born. That I don't know where they came up with that. It's not really in the Word of God, because we don't really know if it could have been days, months, or maybe even a year later after his birth, because we know that they were from the east. It tells us that they came from the east, which was most likely Persia, or right now modern-day Iran. It means that they traveled over 800 to 900 miles just to come see the birth of Christ. But they knew that he was going to be born through the writings of the prophet Daniel, because he was back there in Persia. And in Matthew chapter 2, it says, now listen, it says this, that when they saw the star, remember the star of David, they followed it, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and they worshiped him. And they opened up their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So it wasn't that night. They weren't there that same night. It was because they were in the house by then. They weren't in the stable. But again, the point is that they came. They came. They were part of that process of being those first missionaries of the birth of Christ. And then there was the shepherds, the outcasts. So once again, we see that our Lord came. He came for everybody. There is no respected person with God. Jesus was born, he lived, and he died for the whole world. And because of that, we have to have a passion for everybody. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14 and 16, and these are God's promises, and these are the ones that we hold tightly to our heart, and we know them by heart, about Jesus. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but with all points he was tempted as we are. Isn't that encouraging? Not that, you know, no, I don't want anybody to sin or be tempted like I was. But it feels good to know that it's just not me, you know. I always used to say, wow, I thought it was just, is it just me? But it's everyone. It's even my Lord. He was tempted with every sin, but he did not sin. And let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain and find mercy, find grace and mercy and help in time of need. So, you know, we can have that peace knowing that no matter what we bear in life, whatever we are dealing with, Jesus already bore it on the cross. Be encouraged by that. Even poverty. He was born. He wasn't born in a rich with rich parents. He was born with poor parents. Be encouraged to know that, you know what? The sufferings that we go through, he's able to strengthen us. He's able to carry us through all the sufferings. Everything that you go through, Jesus felt it. Jesus went through it, but he did not sin because he's our high priest. And he did all this in order for us to be able to come boldly to God. We can come boldly to God. You don't have to go through man. You know, I don't know, like, if you, like me, I was raised up that I had to go through man. The church that I went to, I had to respect man like God. And I had to go through him. I had to tell him all my problems. And God's, in order for God to forgive me, it's going to be up to him. He would tell me, okay, this is what you need to do, and you'll be forgiven. And so I went and did it, and then went back to doing what I said I was doing. That's how I was taught. But Jesus, he's our great high priest. He was tempted. He went through everything I went through, yet he did not sin. And because of that, I can boldly come as I am to God. And I can obtain mercy, and I can find grace in the time when I need it. So praise God for that. Now look at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout and waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, So again, we see Simeon. It's amazing when you read about people in the Bible, you don't hear a whole lot about their lives, but there's always, when they're mentioned by name, there's a reason why God put them in there. He doesn't give us a lot of detail, but he does give us the reason why he has them in there. And this is what I want to look at. This man, Simeon, why was he mentioned here, you know, in the birth of Christ here? Well, I think it's a very important because, one, this man, he walked with God. He lived with God. And because he had this close relationship with him, God was able to use him in a very special way. That's what you got to get from this. This man, Simeon, he was used by God. Okay? He was used to what? To encourage Joseph and to encourage Mary. That's it. Just to say a few words to them, encourage them. And then he said, all right, now I'm going to go to heaven. Just in these three verses that I read, it gives us five things that are said about his personal walk with God. And I want you to write them down because if you want to be used by God, then let's look at Simeon's life and let's see why the Lord used him. Write it down because then you can say, okay, am I doing this? I mean, he wasn't a perfect man as well, but he was used by God just to encourage Mary and Joseph. Now, the first point I want you to look at is found in verse 25. It tells us that Simeon was a just and devout man. Okay, that's the reason why God used him. Now, the word just here, it means righteous. It means well-behaved. Simeon was well-behaved. He was living as one who should live. He was a man who treated other people as he wanted to be treated. He was justly. He was a man of compassion. He was a man of sensitivity. I mean, do you have those qualities in you? When you think of righteousness, you know, it says he was a righteous man. I used to think, well, man, I can never reach that righteousness. I think righteousness is something that only God can be. But righteousness is just behaving well, guys. It's just do what's right. That's it. Just do what's right. And then the word devout, it means that Simeon was cautious and he was careful in his relationship with God. Are you careful with your relationship with God? Are you cautious with that? Are you guarding it? It means he had reverence for God. He worshiped God. He respected God. He held God highly. It means being a God-fearing man. He was a God-fearing man. Now, the word reverence means worship God, but it also means you better fear what he can do to you if you get out of line. Okay? If you get out of line, rest assured, God's going to get your attention. And he does it for a reason. Why? Because he chases those he loves. And yet, Paul said this, that God's not mocked. What a man soweth, that's what you're going to reap. But he's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins. And as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he casts them from us. And I always just think, okay, why the east from the west? And why not the north and south? Well, if you go east, continue to go east, or west, you just continue to go that way. But if you go north or south, you end up going north, you're going to end up going back south, or south, you end up going north. That's what I'm thinking. You know, but you can look it up yourself. But again, he was careful in his relationship towards God. He was watchful. He was ready. And this is why God used him. And then secondly, and I think it's very important for us to know, is that Simeon was a man who looked for the coming of the Messiah. Remember, the Spirit told him, hey, you're not going to see death until you see the Messiah. So, you know, I think, okay, Lord, how am I looking for the coming of the Messiah? What am I doing in this time that I'm living, waiting for Jesus to return? Am I about his business? Guys, you hear me say this all the time, that, you know, I'd rather be with the Lord. To be absent from the body, to be present with her, I'd rather be with the Lord. When I hear about saints that have gone to be with the Lord, I get jealous, and I'm like, wow, when is it my turn, Lord? But until then, I want to be about his business. Until then, I'm gonna serve him and I'm gonna wait for him, like Simeon, who looked for the coming of the Messiah. I mean, the reason why he was waiting, it's meant here where it says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. It's talking about the Messiah. Simeon, and you know, Simeon, he must have heard the rumors regarding the coming of the Messiah, the birth of Jesus. You remember John's birth? Remember when Zachariah and Elizabeth, Gabriel came to him and said, hey, you're going to have a son at their old age. And then after he was born, it tells us in Luke chapter 1, verse 65, that his birth, his purpose, why he came, it was widely publicized. It went all over. People were hearing about the birth of John. And then you got these shepherds who received the announcement from the angel, which, I'm sure it was the same angel, Gabriel, about the birth of Messiah. They went. He said, hey, go see for yourself. And they went. And then right after that, I'm sure they says that they went out. They couldn't contain it. And they spread the word about the birth of Messiah. So they went out and they started proclaiming it everywhere they went. So maybe one of them knocked on Simeon's door. Hey, late at night, wake up. Hey, the birth of the Messiah. Can you imagine? He had to find out. He had to hear. And can you imagine the joy in his heart, remembering what the Lord told him, that you will not see death until you see the birth of Messiah? And then for him to hear, the Messiah's born. Oh, man. I bet he put on his clothes right away, you know, tied his sandals, his chanclas and everything. He probably was like, okay, I got to get to the temple, you know. And so he was a man who was looking for the Messiah. And how are we looking for the Messiah? What are you looking for? You know, Jesus is coming back, guys. But until then, what are you doing for him now? You know, back then, many faithful believers among the Jews felt that they can only find a consolation in the Messiah. You know, they can only find that peace that they long for, that hope, that desire for his coming, because they were under Roman oppression, a Roman rule, and the people were under religious oppression as well. And so for the Messiah to come, it was like, okay, when the Messiah come, he's going to, they had the wrong perception of it, obviously. They thought when the Messiah come, he's going to lead us out of the Roman oppression, that we're going to take up arms, he's going to lead us, and we're going to conquer the Romans. They didn't expect him to come as a carpenter, born in a stable, born in a trough, among shepherds. They thought he was going to be royalty, which he was royalty. He was God. And so, you know, they long and they hope for the desire of his coming, just like us, right? How many of you are longing for the return of the consolation of Israel? I am. That's why I say, Lord, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I long for his return. I want to go home and be with the Lord. I want to see everything I've read, everything I heard, everything I study. I want to live it in perfect peace. I mean, when Jesus comes back, guys, we are going to be delivered. Think about everything that is going to happen with us. Man, you can only imagine. But until then, you know what? They believe that they can only find peace through the consolation of the Messiah. Well, you know what? If you want to find peace in your life, then you're going to get it through Jesus Christ. You're going to get it through the Word of God. You're going to get it through fellowship, praying, and worshiping God. That's where you're going to find your peace. It's just like here. Don't you feel that peace in here? When I come in here, you look outside that window, see the world out there? That's all on the outside. That ain't coming in here. Here we're having worship, we're having fellowship, and we're having the Word of God. And this is where you can find your peace. In fact, Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 27, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I do not give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be troubled. When I come here, I can be in the peace of God. And I know that once I leave here, I know that everything's going to be waiting for me out there. Like the men's retreat, guys. Let the world go. Come up there and find the peace of God, because you know what? When you come down, it'll be still there waiting for you. But at least you're going to find constellation and peace and grace and mercy and hope in up in the mountains and with God for 3 days, I think it's worth it. You know, so take on the peace of God. And then thirdly, Simeon was a man who was led by the Holy Spirit. Write it down. Are you led by the Holy Spirit? Who's leading you? It tells us that in verse 26. Look what it says. It says, it has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he will not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. He was led by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, verse 26, it indicates that the Spirit of God was upon him continuously, because this wasn't a one-time thing. The Lord didn't say, okay, you're not going to see death until the Messiah came. And then the Messiah came. This is something that was going on throughout his life. I don't know how old he was when the Lord told him what time that, you know, hey, you know what? Obviously, he wanted to die and be with the Lord, but he says, you're not going to die until you see the birth of the Messiah. So the Spirit of the Lord was continuously on him. What does that tell you with us? It tells us that we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit continuously. It's not a one-time shot. You have to pray continuously that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, throughout the Old Testament, we read how the Spirit of God came upon men. They came upon women for special purposes and special services that they did. But we don't see the Spirit resting on them continuously. But here it seems like the Spirit does rest upon Simeon continuously, because he's led by the Spirit. And so it shows us how close Simeon was living with God. And he must have been a very, very special person with God. And just like Job, remember Job, the story of Job, who God felt he was so confident in Job, and he was very special to God, that God was able to brag about him with to Satan. How many of you would like to be bragged about before Satan? Not me, you know. Not me. Job didn't ask for that, guys. But God was so confident in his relationship with Job, because he also was a man who was righteous before God. And God said, yep, that's my man, they're saying. What do you think about him? You know, he loves me and he serves me. And that's when Satan said, well, why not? Because look what all you do for him. And God had enough confidence in him to say, okay, take it away. Watch, you'll see, he won't curse me, and he'll continue to love me. And Satan went in there and took all his possessions. And Satan came back and says, what'd I tell you, Satan? See, you know what? He loves me, and he didn't curse me. And he's a man of God and a man of righteousness. And Satan said, okay, well, touch his life and I bet he'll do it. God said, okay, touch his life, but don't kill him. And he touched his life, and he went through a lot of suffering, a lot of questioning about God as well, wondering why this is happening. Even his wife and his friends told him, you know, they got to the point where, you know, they encouraged him in silence, sat there and listened to him, and which is kind of, I think, the best counsel is just listening to somebody. And they, for 7 days, his friends sat with him, and Job poured out his heart. They didn't say anything. Then at the end, they finally gave in, and they said, you know what? You must have some kind of sin in your life. You must be wrong in the sight of God, because for God to do this, you are in denial, and there's something that you're doing that you need to get right. And Job knew in his heart that he was right with the Lord. And so God, he stayed faithful to God. And even his wife said, Job, you know what? Come on, just curse God and die, you know, so I can move on, you know, and you know, I can get the life insurance and everything. Just curse God and die, his own wife. I mean, the days of his life, he spent at the end, and then at the very end, Satan came back and said, didn't I tell you? He did not curse me and die, and God blessed him 7 times more. Why? Because he stayed faithful. Simeon was led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit continuously was showing him. So he had this close relationship with God. How is your relationship with the Lord? What are you doing to have that close relationship with God? What are your devotional times? What are your studying times? Your praying times? Now, number four, Simeon was a man who was given a specific and a personal promise for God. A specific promise from God. He was told that he would not die until what? Until he saw the Messiah. That was just for him. God told him that. And you know, we read the Word of God, and I'm sure a lot of you have a promise, a specific, precious promise that God has given to you to hold on and to trust and rest in God's Word. Well, Simeon, he was constantly studying the Scripture, especially the prophecies concerning the coming salvation of the Messiah. He studied it. He had to, because he couldn't. He needed to find out, okay, where is the Messiah going to be born and what's going to happen, because I can't die until I see him. So you can imagine what he was going through. You know, here's a guy, he's old, and he said, man, I want to go be with the Lord, but okay, when's the Messiah coming, and where is he going to come, and I need to find out here so I can be at the right place at the right time. But see, only God knows that. You know, and I think people say, well, you know, you weren't at the right place at the right time, or maybe you were at the right place at the right time. Things don't happen by coincidence. There's nothing. And you know what? I that story of that one man and his sister who was a Christian were driving on that highway, and I read this, and I saw it on the news. They were driving on the highway, and he decided to pull over to fix his earpiece on the Bluetooth on his radio. And as he was fixing on the radio, this plane crashed, hit his car, and his sister died. She was a Christian. We're talking a long stretch of highway. We're talking out nowhere, and all of a sudden a plane falls out of the sky and lands on top of the car. And they're going to tell me, oh, they were at the wrong place at the wrong time. No, they were at the right place at the right time, because the Lord received her and she went home to be with him. That's the way I look at it. It's no coincidence. Come on. I mean, of all the places, open areas out there, and it lands on top of the car. That's God. That's God's perfect timing. What is your quality time with the Lord? What are you doing with God? You know, he studied the Scriptures. He knew, and you know what? You can see, you know, I can only think about how type of relationship this man had with God, how much God felt about him and how much he felt about the Lord. I mean, what personal promises has God given to you guys? Through what? Through reading and studying the Scriptures. I think Chuck Smith's a good example of that. You know, one thing about Chuck, his mom read the Scriptures to him when he was a baby. Now you know, wonder why he was a man of God and why he was blessed. He heard the Word of God when he was in his mother's womb. And so that was instilled in him as in his mother's womb. And one day Chuck said he used to preach this. He said, I will not die until I will see the rapture. I won't die. I will see the rapture. That's what he used to say. And when he died, I'm like, I was left behind. No, I thought, wait a minute. The rapture didn't come, Chuck. But you know what? He did see the rapture. He saw it. He was raptured up. So he didn't lie. He said he would not die. He would see the rapture. He was transformed. He just crossed over into heaven. And I had to say, okay, you're right. You know, and I'm always saying, I hope I see the rapture. But to me, whether I die now or I go with the rapture, I'm going to be with the Lord. Amen. And that's the main thing. And so, and then the fifth thing, Simeon was a man who saw and held the Messiah. He saw the Messiah. He saw the baby Jesus, and he held him in his arms. Do you see the Lord working in your life? Do you see the Lord everywhere you go? You know, creation is the only thing that witnesses and testifies about God all day, all night long. The Bible says, if somebody, well, how about those who don't get the Word of God? Creation tells us about God. Creation witnesses about God. You know, we have no excuse. He was a man who saw and he held the Messiah. Verse 28, look what it says in verse 28. It says he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and he said, the minute the Spirit came upon him, led him into the temple, Mary and Joseph came into the temple, brought Jesus in him there to the temple to do according to the custom of the law. He saw Jesus and he took him in his arms. But notice, again, he was led by the Spirit into the temple. God's perfect timing. Nothing happens out of coincidence. Of all the days that Simeon went to the temple, you know, and the times, and you can imagine thinking, okay, man, I guess I'm going to live forever here, you know, be really old. There'll be a time when he probably thought, well, gosh, I'm going to have somebody carry me to the temple. But that one special day, he was led by the Spirit, and he went to the temple. And that day, he must have longed, and he must have ached for that day in which he would see and he would embrace the Messiah, the Savior of the Word, God himself. You know, back then, the firstborn son was always taken into the temple to be dedicated to the Lord. That was their custom. So I'm sure when Simeon went to the temple, he saw many firstborn sons being brought to the temple. He saw many babies being dedicated. Why did he go over there? And I don't know if he maybe, could I hold your child? Could I, you know, touch him, look at him? I don't know. But what I do know, the many of them that passed by, when Simeon saw Jesus, he saw that he was different from the others. There's something about this baby. Just like the shepherds, you know, you're going to go, you're going to find a baby. He's going to be what? Wrapped in a manger. He's going to be in a trough, feeding trough. This is going to be the difference, or the wise men. Everybody who has an encounter with Jesus, something about Jesus that's different than anybody else. This child was different. He recognized that. He recognized that he was the Christ child. But I can only imagine what he felt when he took that child in his arms and he proclaimed him as being the long-awaited Messiah. And that which is what led him to say in verse 29, look at verse 29. He says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. I love this, that Simeon, after he saw Jesus, he held Jesus, he had the peace of God just by seeing him. He had God's promises fulfilled in his life. Can you imagine the joy he must have felt when he realized this was the Messiah? What do you think can't help but think what's the first thing he thought? I get to die now, you know? Yeah, it says that he had peace. The peace of God came upon him. Man, that's what I want in my life. Is the peace of God on your life? Is the joy of the Lord in your life? Examine yourself. Do you have the joy of the Lord? Do you have the grace of God, the mercy of God in your life? Listen to this quote, a poem, sort of, kind of like a poem that was written by John Trapp. John Trapp, he was a theologian. He was a Bible scholar. He wrote this poem that when he read these scriptures, he wrote this poem expressing the heart of Simeon. So it's like he said, okay, if I was Simeon, this was me, this is probably what I would have felt. And he wrote this poem. I'm going to read it to you. Listen to what he wrote. He says, I fear no sin. I dread no death. I have lived long enough. I have my life. I have longed enough. I have my love. I have seen long enough, I have my light. I have served enough, I have my spirit. I have sorrowed enough, I have my joy. Sweet baby, let this psalm serve as a lullaby to thee and for a funeral for me. Oh, sleep in my arms and let me sleep in thy peace. I think that's beautiful. When he saw baby Jesus, it was a lullaby for him, but it was a funeral for him. Lullaby for Jesus, but a funeral for John. Jesus, sleep in my arms, and let me sleep in thy peace. Man, you can only find peace in God. I want to read Brother John's poem. Remember I mentioned I challenged you guys to write your little poem of the Lord? This is John's. That was John Trapp. Well, this is Big John's that he gave. And so I'm going to read it to you. And this is from his heart. This is what him holding the baby Jesus in his life, in his heart. He might not have held him in his arms, but John is holding him in his heart. And because of this, he wrote this psalm. The Lord gave him this. He goes like this. Oh, Lord, when I was young, you made sure I made it to this world. And Lord, You took me, and when my father and mother forsake me, O Lord, you made sure I found a place where I was taken care of with love. Praise you, Lord, for your mercies are new forever. Your love and your kindness flows with agape-ness from above, like the wings of a dove that soar high above the heavens. For praising you, O Lord Almighty, creator of all living creatures. For Lord, your forgiveness is so great and awesome to me, of your grace that flows through the life you have granted me. Forgive me, Lord, for my sins that I have done through my foolishness as growing up, as though your mercy and grace are beyond my thoughts always, for your ways are not my ways. For, Lord, you're holy and perfect beyond my imagination, that your love is in abundance and abounds. Thank you, Lord, for loving me through my life that belongs to you, Lord Almighty God. Amen. See, that comes from holding Jesus in his heart. Simeon held Jesus in his arms, and he said, Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the people. And then he goes on and says, now, according to your word, you know what? I can depart in peace. I want to depart in peace. Every day I want to have the peace of God. Listen, look at verse 33. And then Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, for a sign which will be spoken against. So after holding the babies, Simeon, he prophesied that the child was going to be the cause of many falling and many rising, that Jesus was to be what the scriptures call the stone of stumbling or the chief cornerstone. And we're going to stop here. I'm going to stop here, and we're going to pick up about that next week. Because I don't want to go over. I don't know if this clock is right, but it might be right. I don't know. But I want to pick up more next week about being about. If you think about it, Jesus' life was the cause of many falling away and many coming to the Lord, and we see that today. But what I want to point out is, again, do you have the peace of God in your life? What is your song? What is it that you have that is so precious that came from God? What has God done in your life? Are you like Simeon? You know, a man who saw and held the Messiah, a man who was given a specific and special promise from God, a man who was led by the Holy Spirit, a man who looked for the coming of the Messiah, a man who was just and devout for the Lord. I mean, if you want to know how you have to be for God to use you, Simeon is a good example of a man that was used by God. And this is all he did. Is he behaved well. He lived like someone should live as a Christian. Are you living as a Christian? Are you living as a Christian? Are you living the way you should be living according to the Word of God? Are you cautious? Are you careful with your relationship with God? What are you doing with your relationship with the Lord? Are you reverence God? Are you God-fearing? Are you careful in your relationship towards God? I think that's so important. We got to be watchful. Are you looking for the coming of the Messiah? Are you anticipating the return of Jesus? I hope you're not that person that said, well, I don't want Jesus to come yet because I want to experience this. Nothing can compare to Jesus coming back. No experience will compare to what you will experience in heaven. Never forget that. Don't let anything compare to Jesus. Nothing compare. The suffering of this present time cannot compare to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so if God has spoken to you, maybe you're wondering, hey, I want to be like Simeon. I want to be able to hold on to the baby and to be able to live in God's peace. Maybe even die in God's peace. I know that when I die, I'm going to hear, enter the joy of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear, wait, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoer. I don't want to hear, well, you know what, Pastor Steve, whew, you're barely making it in. Come on in. Or I don't want to hear, you know what, I'm going to give you this chance. I'll give you one more chance. Okay, come in. I want to hear, enter the joy of the Lord, thy good and faithful servant. That's all. And I want to enter in the peace of God. Well, this morning, if God's spoken to you, maybe the Spirit is continually speaking to you every Sunday, and yet you're not listening. Maybe you're not, God has spoken to you, hey, come down there, get prayer. Go down there. And maybe you're not listening to the Spirit of God. I know someone who told me that, you know what, the Lord spoke to me last week and I knew I should have went down and I didn't go down. Why? I don't know. That's what he told me. I don't know. But he came down that Sunday and he told me this. If God has been speaking to you on Sundays and you're not listening to him, be like Simeon. Be led by the Spirit continuously. And we're going to pray and we're going to worship right now. And if God has spoken to you this morning, you want to be a man like Simeon, one who's living right before God. Just do what's right. Not be perfect. He's just be right in the eyes of God. Maybe you haven't been living like that. Maybe you can't. Maybe you need strength to live like that. And if you need prayer, I want you to come down. I want everybody to stand here. And if you want to be like a man like Simeon, you want to be used by God, if you want to be able to hold on to the peace of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, if you want these qualities, these characteristics that only come from God, I want to pray with you. I want you to come down right now. And if the Spirit has spoken to you, come down. If he's tugging at your heart, come down so we can pray for you.